2 Samuel chapter 24, you can be turning over there. We kind of left you in a lurch. I left you hanging there. The suspense has been building all week. Can you feel it? I'll read you these. Why do a character study? We're doing a character study on Joab, and we are getting close to the end of it. I've got a new verse for you. We read it this morning. I'm just going to read you this one in 1 Corinthians 10. Now all these things happen to them for examples, and they are written for our admonition. The scripture is written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. And that's you and me for sure. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall, because there's examples of that in the scripture. We need the Lord for everything. You had a good day in the Lord today, good day in service, good blessing of the Lord blessing your effort and work for him. It's not a guarantee for tomorrow. Tomorrow's going to start, that day's going to start just brand new and fresh, just like today did. And so we need to see that. We need the Lord at all times. We can't go forward in anything, much less his service and a witness and life for him without him. Amen. We need the Lord. We need the Lord. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There is no temptation. I said no, right? No temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. So that thing that you and I deal with, there's been those before us that have dealt with it and are dealing with it. It's the way that it is. Don't think, well, my temptation is just so very, very different. Now, there's somebody out there that knows, and if there's no person that knows, the Lord knows. That's for sure. But there's not no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able. There's a promise. But will with the temptation also make a way to escape. There's another promise, that you may be able to bear it. There's another promise. Knowing those promises, that's a promise. He said it, right? Is there any backing up or caveats to that? No. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. Oh, my. And then Romans chapter 15. Read this one this morning. We're going to throw it in here. We're not going to get as much mileage out of it as we did these other ones here. But why do a character study? Because God wrote it down, had it written down for a reason. It's his word. But here in Romans 15, verse number 4, this is a verse we use in the message this morning. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, mine and yours, to learn. So we can learn about the Lord, learn about those people that have gone through things and how the Lord worked in them or how they didn't trust the Lord, whatever the case may be, that we can learn these things. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. It's by this book is how we know we're going to make it, right? It's by this book that you and I can come to know how we can persevere, how we can get to the end, right? Yeah, that's the reason he's given it to us. And so we just we take a look at characters, and in the case of Joab, we learn from him a lot of things. We learn from him how not to do a lot of things. And a comparison that's right here, Joab and David, all that's right there in front of us. And we left you last time in 2 Samuel, chapter 24. Let me get caught up with you. 2 Samuel chapter 24. David has numbered the people. And in verse number 1 of chapter 24, and again the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he moved David against them to say, go number Israel and Judah. I tell you, I don't know what all that means. I know that that's the truth, but he moved David against. Now, let's go over here, and tonight, this afternoon, I want to give you a real challenge here. This is going to stretch you about, can you trust the Word of God or not? So, Brother Jim, what are you talking about? Well, this is what the textual critics, some of the things that they use, those that are critical against the Scripture, some things and points that they use. So I'm going to just, the Lord's put them in here. I'm going to bring them out in front of you and see what you think. 1 Chronicles chapter 21. Take a look. Here it says in 1 Samuel or 2 Samuel 24, verse number 1, and again the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he moved David against them to say, go number Israel and Judah. For the king said to Joab, the captain of the host which was with him, go now through all the tribes of Israel. And it took him 9 months and some days to get that done. Here in 1 Chronicles chapter 21, and if you remember last time we read, Joab goes out, he brings the number of the people, tells them to David, and it says there in 2 Samuel 24 verse 10, and David's heart smote him. After that he had numbered the people, and David said unto the Lord, I have sinned greatly in that I have done, and that I have done. And now I beseech thee, O Lord, take away the iniquity of thy servant, for I've done very foolishly. And so the Lord sends Gad, the prophet, to him to give him his choices, because he's repentant, but he's going to reap what he has sown, even as king. The nation's going to reap it. And this is the working of God. But here in 1 Chronicles chapter 21, I believe we have the same account. Okay? It kind of begs the question, who wrote what books? That's another thing that we could study and try to figure out. Somebody wrote 2 Samuel and got the information that they did. And that word is inspired of the Lord, indeed. But then somebody else wrote 1 Chronicles too. And that's inspired of the Lord. This word is inspired of the Lord. But listen to what it says. 1 Chronicles chapter 21, verse 1. And Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. Second Samuel 24. And again the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he moved David against them to say. Does that bother you? Well, don't let it. Because it's all true. The whole kit and caboodle is God's kingdom. And if the Lord backs away from you and me, we will go crazy and haywire. And then those that are not saved around us, if the Lord backs away and lets Satan have rope, he can use them to the Lord's allowance, to be saying, you know, we ought to number this the Israel again. Who were those there that were in David's court possibly that were used of the Lord, used of the Lord backing off and causing it to be? He had a quarrel with Israel, and he was going to bring these things to pass in them, or backed out of the way, and Satan was able to get in there and work amongst those that were not saved and start whispering things into David's ear that were not so. Satan, or David, being a man of God, saved, there's no room for Satan to get inside of him. But there can be the naysayers all about. Ahithophel, right? He was a good counselor. But do we take him to be saved? Not because he killed himself. But there's nothing in the account that tells us that he was a man after God, is there? Yeah, so these things can be, and the critics of the scriptural take these things and say, oh, there's a contradiction. Remember how it was in the days of Job? What's it say? The sons of God went to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan was also there. And the Lord said, what you got to say, Satan? What you been doing? Up and down in the world, up and down in the earth. He said, have you considered my servant Job? Yeah, who can get close to him? So, well, I'll tell you what. He said, Satan says to the Lord, he says, if you take away your blessing and that hedge you have built around him and all that, he'll curse you to his face. And the Lord says, you can do everything to him but kill him. Or you can do everything but touch him. And then it goes on yet again. He said, you can do everything to him but kill him. That's how the Lord can do. Don't we need to pray that the Lord protect you and me and ours and our children, our church, that the Lord would build a hedge about us, that the Lord would be there near, that the Lord would not have a quarrel with us about our behavior? There was something about Israel that bugged the Lord, and he was going to mete out this vengeance upon them. Well, this is one thing here, and both of these things can be so. Because remember, always remember, Satan is never an equal with God. Don't give Satan the attributes of God. He's stronger than you and me. And he has power. But he is subject to God Almighty. Never give him the attributes of the Lord. But we're going to see about how it is with angels and an example of how much power they have. Practical use of the word of God. Verse number 2. 1 Chronicles 21, verse 2. And David said to Joab and to the rulers of the people, "Go number Israel from Beersheba even to Dan." We've heard that. "And bring the number of them to me that I may know it." Joab answered, "The Lord make his people 100 times so many more as they be." We've heard that, right? Remember that over in 2 Samuel last time? "But my lord the king, are they not all my lord's servants? They all belong to you." And here Joab's given good advice. He surprises us yet again. He said, "Are they not all thy servants?" Maybe, how long did the census take Joab? What was it, 9 months, 20 days? Maybe he knows, I don't know, this is maybe cutting him kind of short, but maybe he knows he's going to have to go do it, and he's going to be on the road for a good long time getting it done. Maybe it's self-serving. I don't know. We don't have any indication of that. But he says, "Why do you want to do this? Let them be 100 more. They're all your servants. Why then doth my Lord require this thing? Why will he be a cause of trespass to Israel?" There is some good advice. There is. The Lord can take something that's very small and make it large. He can take something that's very large and make it small, because the Lord controls it all. He does. Nevertheless, verse number 4, "The king's word prevailed against Joab. Wherefore Joab departed and went through all Israel and came to Jerusalem. And Joab gave the sum of the number of the people unto David. And they of Israel were 1,000,000. What's that? 1,000,000, right? "And 100,000 men that drew sword." One with 50, right? "And Judah was 400, 70,000 men that drew the thors." Oh boy, I'm starting it. 470,000 men that could fight, right, in Judah? Okay. Hold your finger right there. Challenge number 2. Go back to 2 Samuel 24. And if you got a couple of them ribbons, maybe you want to stick one over here in 1 Chronicles and then stick another one over here in 2 Samuel, okay? If you just got a piece of paper or gum wrapper or cough drop wrapper or something like that, you can do something, or hold your finger there, either one. Now, it said here 1,000,000 in all of Israel, 1,000,000 and 100,000 drew the sword. And in Judah, there was 470,000 men that drew the sword, okay? Back over here in 2 Samuel 24. Remember down here in verse number 9 when Joab came back and brought the sum of the people? Verse number 9, 2 Samuel 24, verse number 9. "Joab gave the sum of the number of the people unto the king, and there were in Israel 800,000 valiant men that drew the sword." Whoops. I thought it was 1,000,000. "And the men of Judah were 500,000 men." I thought it was 470,000. Well, is that, we're just going to quit and pitch it and go home, pitch out the book and go home? No, no. There's a difference there, and that's the reason I asked you at the beginning, who wrote which books? Who did the tallying? Who did all the collection? Who did they ask, and when did they ask them? We don't see the numbers to line up. But does this change the message that you and I are sinners and we need a Savior and Jesus Christ is the one? No. See, the word of the Lord is perfect and pure. Well, Brother Jim, we just found a place that it doesn't jibe. Well, we don't understand why it doesn't jibe, because can you always trust the word of the Lord? Always, without fail. We need to take that position, because what the Lord has said himself about his word, in his word, we can always trust it. But the Lord in the writing, or having his word written and inspiring this book, remember a couple things. The spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet, as it tells us in Corinthians. The Lord cause those men and move those men to write at the time that they did, understanding what they understood about details such as account. And the Lord didn't get all worried about all the numbers necessarily jiving, because he shows in that he uses means. And something like this doesn't have to jibe, because maybe the Lord would do this and allow this to be. Did the Lord know it was going to be written that way? Sure he did. No mystery to him. Did he send a communication to the guy writing Chronicles and say, you know, and the guy missed it? No. He got his information from where he got his information, and he wrote it down. And then whoever wrote 2 Samuel got his information where he got his information and when he got his information and wrote it down, and the Lord allowed it to be. Because, see, there's people out there that will take this right here and say, if you can't trust the Word of God in that, you can't trust the Word of God in anything. But the thing is, you can. Because remember, it's the same Lord that said that seeing they wouldn't see and hearing they wouldn't hear. This is not whether there were this count of men or that count of men. What's that got up against the eternal need of your soul and salvation? Not one thing. Not absolutely one thing. And so, if you see a quote-unquote discrepancy, ask the Lord to help you to see what it's about and understand the context and importance of it. And understand that the Lord, when he had his word written, he didn't make it to where every little single detail such as this fit together in a way that you and I can understand it. But listen, the stuff that counts and the stuff that speaks to us about eternity, it jibes, doesn't it? Yes, and that's what the word is for. So we go on here, 1 Chronicles 21. Verse number 6, but Levi and Benjamin count he not among them. I find this interesting. Didn't tell us this over in 2 Samuel. For the king's word was abominable to Joab. He left out two tribes and didn't even count them, because he was going from home, wanted to go home, and he just hated doing what the king had given him to do. The king had given him a command that was not according to the word of the Lord. But I think this gives us a hint into Joab and some of what he thought about David, his uncle. There were other times that his word was abominable to him too, wasn't it? And the thing about Absalom, when he told him not to hurt him, and he killed him. And the thing that he did with Amasa, David had said he was going to be the general, and he killed him. When David had made league with Abner and was going to have Israel restored to him, and Joab said, no, I'm going to kill that man because of what he did to my brother in battle. And so it tells us about Joab. Verse 7, and God was displeased with this thing, therefore he smote Israel. And David said unto God, I have sinned greatly because I have done this thing, but now I beseech thee, do away the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done very foolishly. Verse 9, and the Lord spake unto Gad, David's seer, and saying, go and tell David, saying, thus saith the Lord, I offer thee three things. Choose thee one of them, that I may do it unto thee. And Gad came to David and said unto him, thus saith the Lord. You ready again? Choose thee either 3 years famine, or 3 months to be destroyed before thy foes, while that the sword of thine enemies overtake thee, or else 3 days the sword of the Lord, even the pestilence in the land, and the angel of the Lord destroying throughout the coast of Israel. Now therefore advise thyself what word I shall bring again to him that sent me. And David said unto Gad, I'm in a great strait. Let me fall now into the hand of the Lord, for very great are his mercies, but let me not fall into the hand of man. Boy, there's David again, always, always looking to the Lord, even in his sin and even that he's brought upon Israel. And he has done it. He's guilty of it. And the nation's going to pay. You know, We talked last time about seeing how it is with leadership and that when we are have leadership before us that's of the Lord, we're responsible to follow it and follow that leadership according to the word of the Lord. When a leader is given to the people, that leader is responsible to lead according to the word of the Lord. It's that way, and both are responsible in that. And here David, he sinned, he's brought this evil upon his nation, and he says, I'm not going to fall into the hand of man, but I'm going to fall into the hand of the Lord. Now, you remember here what it says in 1 Chronicles 21, verse 12, either 3 years of famine, or 3 months to be destroyed before thy foes, while that the sword of thine enemies overtake thee, or else 3 days the sword of the Lord, even the pestilence in the land, and the angel of the Lord destroying throughout all the coasts of Israel. Which do you want? I'll turn back over here to 2 Samuel. Second Samuel chapter 24, verse number 13. So Gad came to David and told him and said unto him, shall 7 years of famine come unto thee and thy land? I thought 1 Chronicles said 3. We're going to give up on trusting what the Lord has to say? No. No. 7 years of famine, or as it says over here in 1 Chronicles 21, either 3 years of famine, or in 2 Samuel 24, so 7 years of famine come unto thee in thy land, or wilt thou flee 3 months before thine enemies while they pursue thee, or that there be 3 days pestilence in thy land? And so David says, well, I'm not going to fall into the hands of man. And even though there's something here between the 7 years and the 3 years, we're not going to give up on believing what the Lord says in his word. We're going to just chalk it up that we don't understand what it means. But these things are there. People that want to doubt the scripture, want to bring doubt upon the scripture, will bring these things to you. What will your answer be? Back in 1 Chronicles 21. So he says, let me fall into the hand of the Lord. Verse 14. So the Lord sent pestilence upon Israel, and there fell of Israel 70,000 men. And God sent an angel into Jerusalem to destroy it. An angel. One angel. Look at this. And as he was destroying, the Lord beheld, and he repented him of the evil, and said to the angel that destroyed, it is enough. Stay now thine hand. After 70,000 were killed. And the angel of the Lord stood by the threshing floor of Ornan, the Jebusite. And David lifted up his eyes and saw the angel of the Lord stand between the earth and the heaven, having a drawn sword in his hand, stretched out over Jerusalem. Then David and the elders of Israel, who were clothed in sackcloth, fell upon their faces. And David said unto God, Is it not I that commanded the people to be numbered? Even I it is that have sinned and done evil indeed. Look at David's desire for his people, those that he has been given to lead as king. But as for these sheep, what have they done? When the leadership that the Lord gives does not do right and does not do well according to the Lord, it can have an effect on the people, an effect on the people that they themselves may not be guilty of. Or in the providence and working of God, it can be that the people have a thing that God is against them and is going to require of them, and he backs away from the leader so that the leader does something unwise and yet he is guilty for it. Don't we need to pray? You see, don't we need to pray to the Lord to help us all? Yes. We need to plead that the Lord will help us, that we be right. David, he said, for these sheep, what have they done? Let thine hand, I pray thee, O Lord my God, be on me and on my father's house, but not on thy people, and that they should be plagued. Then the angel of the Lord commanded Gad to say to David, that David should go up, set up an altar unto the Lord in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. And David went up at the saying of Gad, which he spake in the name of the Lord. And Ornan turned back and saw the angel and his four sons with him, hid themselves. And Ornan was threshing. Now Ornan was threshing wheat. And as David came to Ornan, Ornan looked and saw David and went out of the threshing floor and bowed himself to David with his face to the ground. And David said to Ornan, "Grant me the place of this threshing floor that I may build an altar therein unto the Lord. Thou shalt grant it me for the full price, that the plague may be stayed from the people." And Ornan said to David, "Take it to thee, and let my lord the king do that which is good in his eyes. Lo, I give thee the oxen also for burnt offerings, and the threshing instruments for wood, and the wheat for the meat offering. I give it all." And King David said unto Ornan, "Nay, but I will verily buy it for the full price, for I will not take that which is thine for the Lord, nor offer burnt offerings without cost." So David gave Ornan for the place 600 shekels of gold by weight. And David built there an altar unto the Lord, and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings, and called upon the Lord. And he answered him from heaven by fire upon the altar of burnt offering. And the Lord commanded the angel, and he put up his sword again into the sheath thereof. At that time, when David saw that the Lord had answered him in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite, then he sacrificed there. For the tabernacle of the Lord, which Moses made in the wilderness, and the altar of the burnt offering that were at that season in the high place at Gibeon. But David could not go before it to inquire of God, for he was afraid because of the sword of the angel of the Lord. So we see here that the Lord tells David. David says, "I'm going to fall on the mercy of the Lord." The Lord sends one angel, and that angel, in the course of these 3 days, kills 70,000. The Lord tells the angel to halt. And he tells by Gad, he tells, "Get up and go sacrifice, David." And David goes to that place where the angel is stopped. It happened to be at the threshing floor of this man Ornan, as it says here in 1 Chronicles. And he tells, David tells him, says, "I want this place. I need your stuff." And said, I want to buy it so I can sacrifice here to the Lord and thank the Lord for the staying of the plague. He says, Ornan says, "Take it. You got the place, you got the animals, you got the wood, you got the wheat. It's all yours." Because they had seen the angel of the Lord approaching them when it stayed, when that angel stayed. And they were afraid. Why? They hid themselves, did they not? David said, "Nope. My service and worship to the Lord is going to cost me. It's going to be of mine that I'm going to give. I'm not going to take from another man." It's the same way as it was with Abraham, isn't it? Abraham was offered some things by the kings there in the land where he was, or in the land of Canaan, the king of Sodom, maybe the king of Gomorrah, and those other cities round about. When he had delivered and had that great slaughter amongst those that oppressed him, they wanted to give him a price. And he got his nephew back, got Lot back, if I remember right. And Abraham said, "No. I want nothing from you. I want no payment from you other than what my men have eaten. That's all I want, because I don't want anybody to say, I made Abraham." That's the way David says, "I'm going to offer of the Lord, and I'm going to offer of mine." So he pays Ornan. He offers a sacrifice there. And then it tells about this fear that David has because of this angel and the terribleness of this pestilence. Turn back over to 2 Samuel now. 2 Samuel chapter 24. And we'll read the account here also, and then we'll just compare them a little bit and see what's here in it. Also notice here in 1 Chronicles, where we read in 21, David and the elders of Israel were clothed in sackcloth, and they had fallen on their faces. They were praying to the Lord that he would stop the plague. Had not the Lord said the plague would last 3 days? Yeah. Did not the Lord, as we saw in our study Wednesday night on prayer, didn't the Lord tell Elijah, "Get thee up and go to Ahab, because there's a sound of the abundance of rain," or "I'm going to send rain upon the earth"? But yet Elijah prayed. David could have just sat back and said, "Well, 3 days, that's going to be what it is." But he had hope in the Lord that the Lord would be merciful. And even though the Lord had said it was 3 days, he prayed and besought the Lord that the Lord might be merciful. We need to pray. We need to have that attitude. We need not have a fatalist attitude. Well, so-and-so's got cancer. I guess that's it. So-and-so's got this. I guess that'll be the end of that. So-and-so happened to so-and-so, or this was broken up, or that was broken up, or that happened. Do we just give up and not pray? Pray that the Lord will move. God does great at doing impossible things. Will we trust Him? Will we trust Him? The example of David was the case. And so back here in 2 Samuel 24, in verse number 15, or verse 14, David said unto Gad, I'm in a great strait. Let us fall now into the hand of the Lord, for His mercies are great, and let me not fall into the hand of man. Verse 15, so the Lord sent a pestilence upon Israel from the morning even to the time appointed, and there died of the people from Dan to Beersheba 70,000 men. That number's the same, isn't it? Because, see, that is the judgment. 70,000 men. Both writers got that one right. And when the angel stretched out his hand upon Jerusalem to destroy it, the Lord repented him of the evil and said to the angel that destroyed the people, it is enough. Stay now thy hand. And the angel of the Lord was by the threshing place of Arunah the Jebusite. Same man, just different writing of his name. 70,000 men. One angel. 70,000 men in 3 days. You know, that's 23,333 a day. That's 972 an hour. That's 16 a minute. That's one every 4 seconds. One angel. You remember how when the Lord was there in the garden. I meant to look this up and I didn't. Maybe some of you men can help me. But He's there and some of the disciples are telling about, or wanting to fight. And the Lord says, don't you know that I can call so many legions of angels? Is it 12? 12. 12 legions. You know how many is in a legion, Joe? Off the top of your head? I meant, huh? Yeah. It's more than two. It's a bunch, you know? Yeah, okay, a legion, 1,000. I don't know, I have to look that up. But the Lord said, don't you know that I can call 12 legions of angels? They're ready like that to come. And the Lord had that at His disposal at the time that He was betrayed and taken and said, hold them off. I'm doing this alone. 7 legions of angels could have descended, and if a population of Jerusalem was estimated, the place would have been decimated in minutes. Consider the power of our God. This is just one of His angels. Consider it. And we'll try to, next time, do that math and see how that works out. But the Lord said, stop, to the angel. Verse 17. And David spake unto the Lord when he saw the angel that smote the people and said, lo, I have sinned and I have done wickedly. But these sheep, what have they done? Let thy hand, I pray thee, be against me and against my father's house. He said, I have done the wrong. Don't take it out on them. Don't take it out on them. And Gad came that day to David and said unto him, go up, rear an altar unto the Lord in the threshing floor of Arunah the Jebusite. And David, according to the saying of Gad, went up as the Lord commanded. And Arunah looked and saw the king and his servants coming on toward him. And Arunah went out and bowed himself before the king on his face to the ground. And Arunah said, wherefore is my lord the king come to his servant? And David said, to buy this threshing floor of thee, to build an altar unto the Lord, that the plague may be stayed from the people. And Arunah said unto David, let my lord the king take and offer up that what seemeth good to him. Behold, here be oxen for burnt sacrifice, threshing instruments and other instruments for the oxen for wood. All these things that Aruna, as a king, gave unto the king. And Aruna said unto the king, the Lord thy God accept thee. And the king said unto Aruna, nay, but I will surely bide of thee at a price. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God, that of which cost me nothing. So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. Does that change? Did you catch that? It was a certain amount of gold in the other place. Maybe it was both. But will that cause us to go away from what the Lord says in his word? No. No. And David built there an altar unto the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. So the Lord was entreated for the land, and the plague was stayed from Israel. We haven't really taken a look at Joab much this afternoon, other than Joab gave good advice concerning this situation, as he had done in other things. But even after David wanted it to be done, we saw where it said over there that the word of David was abhorred by Absalom, as it had been in other times. And then there's a couple other things relative to this that we want to read. 1 Chronicles chapter 27. Take a look over here. Here it kind of giving an account of the order of David's government and those things that he had appointed to be in the order of Aaron's sons and expansion, it seems, or order of the priesthood and different ones that were filling different offices and such. And it's just given a dissertation of this. And in 1 Chronicles 27, verse number 23, there's another note or point about this numbering that David did. 1 Chronicles 27:23, and David took not the number of them from 20 years old and under, because the Lord had said he would increase Israel like unto the stars of the heavens. Joab the son of Zeruiah began to number, but he finished not, because there fell wrath for it against Israel. Neither was the number put to the account of the chronicles of King David. So it seems as if the plague came. Maybe the count was in the midst of being accounted for and there was more to be done. Joab comes to Jerusalem to give the count to the point that where he was at. And then the pestilence started while the numbers were still coming in. The Lord knows, and it's no reason for us to doubt what he's given us otherwise in his word. Another point about this. 2 Chronicles chapter 3, take a look at this, and we'll close. 2 Chronicles chapter 3. This place is significant. This place here where the angel was stopped by the Lord, where David bought this threshing floor, is significant. Why it is, I don't understand exactly why it is. But it had something to do with, I think, the fear that David had that it mentioned there in 1 Chronicles where we read in chapter 21 in the account of that. It said there that the tabernacle of the Lord which Moses made in the wilderness and the altar of the burnt offering were at that season in the high place at Gibeon. But David could not go before it to inquire of God, for he was afraid of the sword of the angel of the Lord. For some reason, he wouldn't go there to inquire of the Lord, but at this place, he began to inquire of the Lord, and evidently it is of the Lord for it to be. In 2 Chronicles chapter 3, verse number 1, then Solomon began to build the house of the Lord at Jerusalem in Mount Moriah, where the Lord had appeared unto David his father, in the place that David had prepared in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. That. David wanted to build a house for the Lord, but the Lord told him, said, you're a bloody man, you can't build it. But I'll have your son build it. You go ahead and collect for it. You go ahead and set the order for it. and I'll have your son build it, but you're a bloody man, a man of violence. You can't build it for me. In verse number 2, and he began to build in the second day of the second month in the fourth year of his reign. Solomon, when he is made king, next time we're going to see about that, Lord willing, when he begins to build the temple of the Lord, he builds it at this place where the plague was stayed. The place where David bought that threshing floor and took that wood, took those oxen that they were using to thresh that wheat and process that wheat, and he offered sacrifices there before the Lord. Where the Lord had stayed the plague, 70,000 being killed by one angel in the course of 3 days, that's where the temple was built. Tell me why. I'd like to know. Joab, he gave good advice this time. Either he knew that it was wrong, and he even mentioned that about it being evil, that David should number the country, the land, the people. Or maybe it's because he just didn't want to go do it. As we see in the scripture there, it seems like he fell short of getting the job done. The number really never was known. But it was an offense to the Lord. Oh, may the Lord help us that we serve him well according to what he says. That we serve him well, that we obey well, we follow him well. That as members of Olmsted Baptist Church, we do and find that place that the Lord has for us in his church and serve him well in it. Pray for me as your pastor, that I'd be the pastor to you that the Lord would be pleased with, that we might serve the Lord well together, that I might feed you well in the coming year, that I might instruct you well, that I might teach you the knowledge that I can, and that we learn together what the Lord has to say from his word. For sinners, that the Lord would save and work in hearts, and that we might be found well-pleasing to the Lord when he comes in this new year. We not be like Joab. Go about things our own way, that the ends justifies the means, but that we would strive and work lawfully according and pleasing to the Lord. If you're here without Jesus Christ as your Savior, you need him. You need him in the worst way. You need to repent. Repent of your sins before God. You're a sinner. You're guilty. The word, the law shows that you are guilty before God. You may have hurt other people or stole from somebody or talk bad to somebody or whatever, but in all that, you've sinned against God Almighty. You've disobeyed his law. You know what? Signing something, repeating something, getting wet, joining a church, promising to pay or give tithes and offerings or doing this or that or the other, you name it, on and on and on and on forever. None of that saves sinners. It's Jesus Christ. Do you have Jesus Christ? And more importantly, does he have you? Have you repented and trusted in him? Laid your all upon him? Take him up on the promise that he's made that he'll save those that come to him. How about you this afternoon?